And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Thank you, Hilary. Great. Well, I want to talk about, I want to tell you two stories today. One about a guy called Valentine, and another about a guy called Trophimus. We're going to start with Valentine, as it's all about Valentine's Day. And I want to tell you a bit about the story about St. Valentine and Valentine's Day. To do this, I need a little bit of help this morning. So I've been thinking about who can help me with this, and I would like Jörg. I'm going to need you to come and help with this, please. So Jörg, if you can come up to the front. And then I'd also like Chris, if Chris can come and help. So Jörg, I would like you to be... I picked this part especially for you. I think it suits you. You're Claudius. You need a microphone from there. Chris, I picked this song because you were singing a beautiful love song this morning, so you can be Valentine. Okay? So there you go. And David and Gavin, can you both come forward, please? And you two guys, I've got a very special, you've got the biggest part of all. I'd like you to be soldiers. You both look like big soldier guys. There's your part, okay? So you two can come on the platform here and just stand behind me there. There you go, in the middle, right? There you go, that's your part, okay? So I'm the narrator, and we're going to tell you the story of St. Valentine, all right? Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Once upon a time, about 1800 years ago in Rome, this is a true story, there was an emperor, a king, called Claudius II. Now, Claudius had a great army, and he fought, and the army fought battles for him, but recently, they hadn't been doing so great.
What's wrong with you all? Why are you fighting like a bunch of pansies?
You can see why I picked him for that part, can't you? So... Yes, you'll go now.
We miss our wives and families.
That's it, you can go sit down now. They missed their wives and families. So Claudius decided to do something about it to help the situation. What do you think he did? What do you think Claudius did? Any ideas? Yeah, put the scripts away now. What do you think he did? Anyone? Sorry? Gave them all a holiday so they could go back and be with their wives and families. No, he didn't do that. I'll tell you what he did. What he did was, he decided to ban marriage. This is true. He banned marriage. Then they couldn't miss their wives and families anymore.
My new soldiers won't miss wives or families because they won't have any.
Now, the young men and women were pretty upset about this. They couldn't now marry their boyfriends and girlfriends anymore. Around that same time, there was a priest, a minister, called Valentine. And he thought that this was a bit unfair.
Marriage is a beautiful thing, and God invented it. We shouldn't stop it happening.
That started with a bit of an accent then, and then kind of just, you realised it wasn't
working,
didn't you?
I wanted to get the beautiful thing.
But Claudius wouldn't listen. He thought it more important to win battles than to obey God.
God might like marriages, but I don't. It stops soldiers concentrating on battles.
So Valentine decided that he had to do something to help the young lovers. What do you think he did? Anybody any ideas? Yeah, go on, shout. Had secret marriages. Well, you're absolutely right. Good answer. He arranged some secret marriages and broke Claudius's rule. When Emperor Claudius found out, he was furious.
Ah, Valentine! Come here now! I said no more marriage. You disobeyed me!
What do you think Emperor Claudius did?
Off with his head. Chop, chop!
He sentenced Valentine to death and threw him in jail to stay there till they killed him. While he was in jail, something interesting happened, though. Valentine fell in love with the jailer's daughter. She was blind, but Valentine loved her and he prayed for her, and eventually she was healed. And finally, the day came when Valentine was to be killed, and he wrote her a final love letter.
Dear JT, I love you. I always will. And I'll be waiting for you in heaven.
Then he signed it at the bottom with his name.
From your Valentine.
Can you guess the date when Valentine wrote this letter and was killed? Absolutely right. And later, the church thought about all that Valentine had done, how he'd obeyed God by helping people get married, even when he knew he'd be killed for it, that he cared for other people more than himself, even though awful things were going to happen to him, that he died for what he believed in, the importance of showing love and commitment to other people. And they decided to call Valentine a saint, a special name given to people by the church. And that's why, on February the 14th, each year, people celebrate St. Valentine's Day, a day to remember that love and marriage are important, and showing love to other people is too. And that's the true story. Thank you, guys. Sorry. Did you know that? There we go. The story of St. Valentine. Now, he is a saint in the church. And there's lots of saints that you hear about in churches. Particularly the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, they talk about saints a lot. We don't tend to put much emphasis on saints in the Baptist Church and some other denominations because I guess we realize they're just people, the same as us, you know, saved by grace, the same as us. They may have done some great exploits and so on, but at the end of the day, we're not to worship them, we're to worship Jesus. So we don't put as much emphasis on it. But we can learn lessons and insights from different people like these saints. We can learn lessons and insights from Bible characters that have gone before us through the ages to help us grow in our own faith, can't we? But while we may aspire to be like some of these great people, some of these great Bible characters or saints, most of us will be more ordinary. We'll live ordinary lives. So I want to take a quick look at one of the more unremarkable characters in the Bible today, and his name's Trophimus. Now, has anyone heard of Trophimus before? Do you know who he was or what he did? Anybody? Oh, well, we're going to learn lots today then. Good. So the name Trophimus means a well brought up and nurtured foster child. That's where it comes from. Incidentally, by the way, in case you were waiting for the series, Questions People Ask Jesus, we're taking a break from that today. You've probably gathered that already. But we're taking a break from that series today to do this for Valentine's Day. We're coming back to it next week. I'll say more just at the end on that. But Trophimus means a well-brought-up child, a nurtured foster child. So what do we know about him? Well, the answer is not much, as he's only mentioned three times in the Bible, and very, very briefly each time. And I'm going to show you the three occasions that he's mentioned. The first is this. We know he was a Gentile from the province of Asia who accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. It says in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, that's his first mention, Paul was accompanied by Soptar, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. So that's his first mention in the Bible. We know he was a companion of Paul. This was on his third missionary journey, and he was from Asia. The second time he's mentioned in the Bible is in the next chapter, Acts chapter 21, verse 29. And here we learn that he was from Ephesus, specifically, and that he was the innocent cause of a riot that happened in Jerusalem that ultimately led to Paul's arrest. In Acts chapter 21, verse 29, he's put in brackets in the Bible, and it says, they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Let me tell you the story about that and give it some context, because this really is his main claim to fame in the Bible, which isn't really that great. Acts chapter 21, and we'll look at verse 27 to 36 for this story. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he's brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." So they were talking about Paul here, that Paul had done this, but the Greeks they were talking about that he brought in were included Trophimus. They thought he'd brought Trophimus in. So it tells you that in brackets, just to clarify. They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple, but he hadn't necessarily done so. But they were having a go at Paul because they were saying he'd taken a Gentile into the courts of the temple. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul, and they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in uproar over this incident. While they were trying to kill him, he at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. So he was being beat up at this time. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he'd done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great he had to be carried by the soldiers. And the crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him!" Trophimus' claim to fame. He caused a riot, called Paul to be beaten up and arrested and put in chains. go Trophimus. And it wasn't even his fault. He was innocent. Peter had previously distanced himself from a Gentile for fear of the Jews. We read about that in Galatians 2, verse 12. And Paul was cross with him about it. He says, you shouldn't do that. And Paul wouldn't do that in Jerusalem. He was gonna socialize with and accompany Gentiles because that was what his ministry was about. We don't know that he'd actually taken Trophimus into the temple, but if he had have done, he'd have been making a point that Gentiles are as welcome to worship God as anybody else. Non-Jews are as welcome, which he's right, isn't it? But he would have been pushing the issue. So whether he did it or not, we don't know. It says they assumed he had. But he wasn't bothered either way. He got assaulted and arrested for it. I was watching a film last night that was about racism. And in it, a white man was persecuted for associating with and being with a black man. The other white man ganged up on him and abused him because he was willing to associate himself with a black man. And as I was preaching this today, that picture was in my mind, you know, about how you can't associate with them. How rubbish it is. How awful it is that people would treat each other that way. That's the second mention of Trophimus. The third mention of Trophimus is this. He was later left behind by Paul in Miletus because he was ill, because he was sick. And it seems Paul can't help him. 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. And that's it. That's the story of Trophimus. He ends up being left behind by Paul because he's not well. It's all we know. It's not very impressive, is it? Not much of a story to tell. Tradition has it that Trophimus, in the end, was later beheaded by the Roman Emperor Nero. Don't know if that's true or not. But that's why I like stories like this. They remind us of ordinary people like you and me. Actually, most of our lives aren't that dramatic. People who might just be another name on a list, like in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, where he was just listed amongst a number of people. People who may unwittingly cause trouble and problems at times for other people, even though we don't mean to. Anyone done that before? People who get sick or left behind or feel abandoned or feel lonely at times. And actually, even amazing, extraordinary and famous Christians get ill and depressed too. John Calvin, there's 2 pages of diseases that he had written about him, the diseases that he suffered, and he was like one of the most famous theologians. Spurgeon was suffered from depression a lot of the time, Charles Spurgeon, and Paul, even it talks about in the Bible, had a thorn in his side, not a literal thorn, as in a rose bush, but something that was bothering him, which we're not 100% sure what that was all the time. Trophimus wasn't a standout character. He doesn't have stories about his glorious exploits in the Bible. And most of us won't have stories told about us like that either. We're not Martin Luther King or Billy Graham, where people are writing books about us. I don't think so, anyway. Instead, most of our service to God will be quiet and unseen, or at least not written about. And I guess at least Trophimus got his name in print, didn't he? 3 times. Most of us won't ever get that. But we don't need to. We do matter, though. You do matter, though. We are part of the story and a really important part. And we're actually in the Bible, too. Some of you may recall there's a long list of names in Hebrews chapter 11. It started before the bit that Hillary read to us. Hebrews 11 is a long list of people of faith. It's kind of a hall of fame. Here's some of them that are listed there. These are the hall of fame of people that are named in the book of in Hebrews 11. Well-known servants of God who conquered kingdoms, minister justice, stop the mouths of lions, or quench the fury of the flames, and so on. Actually, Daniel's not mentioned in that list. He's not included in there by name, nor is Nehemiah. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel are just put under the heading of and the prophets. They're not named individually. But in the same chapter, alongside these well-known servants of God, there's also a hall of obscurity. In verse 35 to 38, these are simply called others. And others who were tortured, jeered, flogged, chained, imprisoned, stoned to death, sawn in two, killed by the sword, left destitute, wandering in deserts, living in holes. And you don't even get their name. Not even mentioned. But they do all that for God. They deserve a mention, don't you think? At least get the name in there, but they don't. They're simply referred to as others, and these men and women were no less faithful servants of God. Yet most of their names will remain unknown to us, even though many died for their faith. Some in the Hall of Fame got their names there by being miraculously rescued by God. Some in the Hall of Obscurity stood just as boldly for Christ, but the cavalry didn't come over the hill just in time to save and rescue them. And let's face it, it doesn't often for us either. It can. It sometimes does. Sometimes God steps in and does the miraculous. Sometimes he heals. Sometimes he does something amazing in your situation and answers prayer in a way that you want. And I totally, totally believe he can, and we should pray and we should seek him. And he does do the miraculous still today. But he doesn't always. This side of heaven, Christians can still get sick, can still struggle, can still get down or depressed, can still and do still die. And historically, the obscure and the ordinary far outnumber the famous. They always have and they always will. Like many new Christians, I used to dream of doing exploits for God. When I grew up, you know, as a teenager, I used to think, I'm gonna do amazing things for God. I'm going to be going around the world. I'm going to be the next Billy Graham. Or for me, it was Cliff Richard at the time, was kind of a Christian singer. And I always thought he should speak out more for his faith. He should do, even though he was doing a bit, he should do more. I'm going to be a famous pop star, Christian pop star. And I'm going to preach Jesus everywhere around the world. It hasn't happened. Here I am. And I've certainly seen some good things, but I've long since realized that I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just Phil. That's why I don't like using the title, you know, minister, reverend, whatever. I'm just Phil. I'm like you. I'm just on a journey like you. I have the privilege of being paid full-time to do this. You don't. Sorry. Wish we could pay you all. I have the privilege of being paid to minister for God and leading you, but I'm just an ordinary bloke like you. Maybe God kept it this way for me because he knew I might get big-headed and I needed humility. But we still matter. I still matter. You still matter. And our contribution to his kingdom work is just as important to God as those with the big names and the spotlights. He's an extraordinary God, but he chooses to call ordinary people like you and me to do these things for him. And we need to remember and be encouraged by this. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God remembers your labor of love. He values our faithful, our obscure, our unsung, our unrecorded service to him. Every bit as much as the stuff that gets published and written about and shouted about. Now the world may not know your name, like they do some of the saints, like St. Valentine. That's okay, because God knows your name. The world may not know your faithful, quiet service sometimes. That's okay, because God sees and knows it all. And Hebrews 6 goes on, the next two verses. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. Keep doing it so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So this is my message this morning to you, to me, to us all together. At this difficult time we've been through, and as we're looking to go forward again, let's keep going. Don't give up. Keep loving, keep giving, keep helping, keep serving. And your Father in heaven, who sees what you do, will reward you and will delight over you and me. The last couple of verses of what Hillary read today in the passage that she read for us in Hebrews chapter 11, after all this big list of people of famous faith and all the people who'd been tortured and killed for God and all this kind of stuff and sawn into and everything, right at the end of it, the last two verses say this: these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us. That's you and me. So that only together with us would they be made perfect. It's all about Jesus and what he's done. And he's done it just as much for you and me as he has for everybody else. And he wants to use you and me just as much as everybody else to show and share that love with others. So Valentine, great guy, did some great stuff. Trophimus had some unfortunate things, but he was used by God. An ordinary guy used by God. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me matter to God. Let's keep serving him faithfully to the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that each of us matter to you. Our service is not in vain. Sometimes we may feel like giving up. Sometimes we may feel so ordinary, but Lord, thank you that we are so special to you, and every single kind word we say, every bit of service we do, every sacrifice that we make is important in your service and for your kingdom. So help us to keep doing it, Lord. Strengthen us and give us hearts to love and serve one another, and to love and serve you faithfully to the end. Amen.